Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Some say we were the show that broke you the news of Newark Town's new manager. And you don't have to wait till Thursday anymore to find out the sports news. Just turn on the wireless. All we know, this is Radio Newark Sport. November's arrived and it's time that we start our look back at 2017 with some of the sports stars that have been making the news this year. In January, Anna Smith was starring for the Newark Athletic Club in the Cross Country Mini League. In August, she was starring for GB in the West Indies. And brother Ben is following in his sister's footsteps. We find out what he's been up to this year in his quest for stardom. Last week we spoke to Adam Holland, who was about to embark on a manic weekend, even by his standards. Snowdonia Marathon on Saturday, and the Devon County Championships Marathon on a Sunday. We find out how we got on at 20 past 7. And of course we catch up on all the major national, international and local stories. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and this is Radio Newark Sport. And we start with last night, Tony, and Chelsea easily beaten in Roma. Too easily beaten in Roma, I think. 3-0 is not the result they was wanted. I think they'll still go through, but it might be second place now.
Yeah, they'll still go through. I was listening to the game on Radio 5 Live, and Roma were streets ahead of them. They absolutely took them apart.
I'm beginning to think if we do well in this European Championship, it's going to be one of the Manchester clubs. I'm struggling to see beyond them two. Barcelona failed to score in a Champions League match for the first time in 5 years, would you believe? 5 years, and it was 0-0 against Olympiacos last night.
The match I'm really looking forward to tonight is Napoli versus Manchester City, because Napoli are cruising it at the top of the Serie A in Italy. And if Manchester City get a good result over there, then you wouldn't look much further than Manchester City for the European Cup, would you, the way they're playing at the minute?
Exactly. Jock Sport, Celtic. They're out.
But
fair enough, they're out. But by all accounts, the performance against Bayern Munich last night was the best in Europe for many a long year. They lost 2-1 at home, which, you know, isn't a bad result to Bayern Munich. The Celtic goal was made and scored by two ex-academy players. Both with Jock names, both born in a stone's throw of Celtic Park.
Callum McGregor is one of the
finest.
That's
the way it should be going.
Callum McGregor is one of the finest midfielders in Scotland, which isn't saying much, but he's still good.
No, but it's saying quite a bit, isn't
and
it?
And the first Bayern Munich goal was handball.
Yes, but when the big boys... The big boys will get the rub of the green, don't they? They always do.
But apparently Celtic were all over them like a rash, and Bayern Munich got the look you get when you are the big boys.
Anyway, plaudits to Celtic. Sunderland. Simon Grayson has been sacked after just 18 games as Sunderland manager, with his team 22nd in the Championship. His departure announced 17 minutes after the 3-0 draw with bottom of the table Bolton Wanderers came 4 months after he was appointed. That, he followed on, of course, from David Moyes. Now, you know, I mean, come on.
That is so wrong, because it was actually 16 minutes.
Right. I must get my timings right. They only stopped in the Premiership last season on the back of a fluke 3-2 victory over Chelsea, the year before. Lost that one. Newcastle would have stopped up. Sunderland would have gone down. So they only stopped up on a fluke victory. That club's been going downhill since Niall Quinn left. And it's been going downhill for a long time. And it makes you wonder, though, Tony, where, how far they're going to drop, because it's a fantastic club and it's a fantastic ground.
It's been going downhill since Rach Carter left.
Well, yeah, okay.
But I think that's now 9 managers in 9 days, isn't it? Something like that.
They've sacked him, but don't know who's going to replace him. And they're playing Middlesbrough in the biggest game of the season, the Teesside Derby on at the weekend.
Well,
he's brainless.
I think of all the managers available to him, I think David Moyes would do a good job up there.
People that run football clubs these days, I don't know where to find them.
Yeah, but
you don't sack your manager. What's he going to achieve in 4 months after his team got relegated? There's nothing he can achieve.
But Leeds,
give him time.
But Leeds lost to Derby.
I'm not sure who I'd want to win between Dirty Leeds and Derby. Right, one more and then it's guest time. Port Vale have had a year to forget so far. Fair enough, we know that. Relegated from League One in April and they're now 2 places off the bottom of League Two. Okay. They play in Burslem, apparently.
You do.
Which is somewhere near Stoke-on-Trent. Right. They've had 9 goalkeepers so far this season. 9 goalkeepers! They've only played about 15 matches.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the chairman of my club, Newark Flowserve, is a director at Port Vale, and
we'll get him to sign Nathan Burrows.
He's not a happy chappy at the minute.
The new manager they've got in there, Neil Aspin, says, I'm very disappointed by the whole goalkeeping situation. They got beat 3-0 by Swindon Town at the weekend, in which Vale's 9th keeper, on loan Dimi Ermatov from Forest, made his debut. They sold Jack Annick to Rangers in January for £250,000, and this is the 8th attempt to replace him. It's called having a plan, isn't it, before you sell your biggest asset?
But I don't think Jack Annick's played a game yet, because Fotheringham has played every game this season for Rangers.
Well, I wouldn't know, because I don't follow jock sport.
Well, that's why you've got me alongside you, see. You need an educated man when it comes to Scottish football.
Young Lily's sitting here, and she's more educated when it comes to football than you are. Local headlines. Grantham Town's 3-1 victory at Hales Owen has elevated the Gingerbreads into 4th place of the Evo Stick Premier League. They're on a roll, Tony. And the class of 92, Salford City, were in Lincolnshire last night, winning 1-0 at Boston United. And going top of the National League North table in the process. And who says money doesn't talk? A mixed weekend for our tennis club. The men had an excellent victory over Burton Joyce, with all 3 pairs recording wins. But the ladies, 2 was lost at Cornton by 63 points to 45. And I shan't tell you what Claire Haytree told me, how she played at the weekend. But suffice to say, in her opinion, not very good. Finlay Cranage, well, he got 1st place in the C final, and his dad 5th place in the B final at the BMX weekend.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Talking of Evo Stick and Salford City, the FC United had a nice little chant from when Salford scored their 3rd at
1, is it repeatable? 2, is it repeatable with 3 charming youngsters in the in here?
No, but it did involve the word stick and money.
Right, okay. We'll leave it at that. I've decided that now we've reached November, it's time we started looking back at 2017 with some of the people that's made the news this year. So I thought I'd start right at the top, because they don't come any bigger than a young lady that, as I've already said, started the year running for Newark AC in cross countries and finished the year in a GB vest in the West Indies in the Youth Commonwealth Games, getting the PB. I mean, it doesn't come any better than that. It really doesn't. She's a regular guest on Radio New Sport, and she's always welcome. It's been a few weeks since we've seen her, so she's come to see us. Brother Ben's come to see us as well. And Lily, young sister Lily, has come to see us as well. So we'll try and see if we can get Lily to talk on here sometime before 8 o'clock, because I'm sure she's not shy if she takes after a sister and a brother. Yeah, she's not shy. That's the answer to that one. Right, let's start with Anna, the queen of Newark athletics this year. Anna, just a bit closer to that mic. You know the routine there. Anna, when you think about 2017... can you believe what you've achieved?
No, it's kind of unbelievable. I wouldn't have thought that it would happen. I obviously wanted something like that to happen, but it's really odd when you think of it that way.
It's
when you think back like that.
Dreams, isn't it? It's this dream through hard work come true. So after the 7:30 break, I want you to talk about 2017. But beforehand, for the listeners that's probably not heard you on the radio before, I want to find out a little bit about Anna and Ben Smith. So we'll go back to when you started running and when you went to Newark AC. Yep. I mean, I assume you started running because mother was a runner, is a runner.
No.
Father then?
No.
One of them must be a runner.
No.
So normally we get what mum and dad does. So you two have gone a completely different way then.
Well, I played football. Both me and Ben played football because Dad played football and Ben played football, so I wanted to play. And then lots of people would say that I could run quite well for quite a long time around the pitch. And then when I went to secondary school, I used to do cross countries kind of every month for school, for my school team. And then Ben went to one, and he got asked to see if he wanted to run for a club because he did really well. And then he went along first to Newark, and then I came a month or so later to try it out.
So really, you was a fairly late starter to the running then, because you're secondary school, so we're talking about 11.
I didn't start until I was about 12 or something.
So your first love was football then?
Yeah. Yeah, we played football, and I still dance, but I used to dance then as well.
Where do you find the time? let's just bring mum, because we always call mum or dad. We always, this is why dad's got out of this. We always mum, when they went playing football, sort of at Southall, and sort of played for the local side, and then they got the running bug. How did that change the sort of Smith lifestyle?
Initially, not too much, in that they were always just sort of fairly active anyway. I think, to be fair to Anna, she always just would run across a field, even as a youngster. She probably doesn't remember those things, but she just always just used to just have a speed about her. So it was, in some ways, when you look back, more of a natural progression. But when they first started running, it was only sort of once a week, and then I think it's just stepped up quite a lot since then, and particularly over the last couple of years, the amount of training's really taken on a different form. So they've dropped some of the things they used to do quite so much. You used to do some tennis as well, Anna, and a few other bits and pieces. But I think it just meant there was a change for the family more recently, as they've done much more running. We've been obviously split in three directions, with possibly Anna and Ben doing different events and my youngest doing her things as well, so it can be tricky at times, but that's life.
It is. We'll talk about that one a little bit later. Ben's here as well, sitting in the corner. Ben, welcome back to Radio Newark. Do you still play football?
No, I stopped like a year ago now.
You stopped, and you're concentrating on the athletics side as well. What did you think when your sister started playing football?
Was it me or you first? I can't remember. It was Ben first. I don't know.
Ben first.
For most boys, it's just standard to start playing football, isn't it? Like, that's, you kind of consider a bit weird if you don't start playing football. Everyone plays football. Like, in the end, they kind of thin out a bit, but at the start, you've just got, like, massive squads of people, so... I don't know. It's kind of like not many girls play football, but increasingly more girls play football.
So when you both went to secondary school and you both took up running, and it became very quickly apparent that you was good at this. How did you get to where did Newark Athletic Club come into it then, Ben?
I can't remember her name, but some woman after my first race ever. What?
It was Anita Spray.
I think it might have been Anita Spray. One of the people that does the not schools management thing. After my first race, I think I came like 8th at the county schools thing. I did it in football boots. and it was actually where I used to play football quite a lot. So I just went down and did it, and I did all right. And then after the race, she just gave me a little leaflet and said, try out Newark. They're like the best at cross country. So I just went down and did the training, and it was really good.
Because when I first come across you was both eating up first places for fun at the mini cross country league. Do you miss doing that?
No. I missed like the first two this year, and just training and building is just like so much better. I haven't raced for 3 months now, but like we've got the first race this Saturday. I feel like so much stronger.
Is this
it's national relays.
Yeah.
And like, we just feel like so much stronger for having a break. Like it's no, I don't know. We don't see the point in like competing if you don't need to. We're just like saving ourselves, and then we're just gonna like.
I think it's almost a growing up factor, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
I was talking to Amber Owens, and Amber is basically the same. She's missing out on so much. And saying, right, I need that one, and that one. And you're targeting events now.
Yeah, you do the races you need, don't you?
You have to, because the cross countries get longer and longer as you get older. So you kind of have to make sure you're not doing too many. Otherwise, you're going to end up getting tired before the big races come.
You're the, as I've already said, the track queen. Cross countries, do you just do it to get fit now, because I mean you're excelling on the track. I mean, to me, you excelled at cross country, but it's the track where you are now, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, I do cross country mainly for fitness. It's kind of fun sometimes, not really, but I mainly do it for fitness, so I'm not just not racing at all. Yeah, I'm going to try and I think at the start of next track season, kind of into the cross country season, I'm going to start doing. Maybe start a bit earlier, try some indoor track races instead of so many cross countries to get more into the track.
Well, that's brought you up to when they started, and it's brought you up to really to 2017, because it's been a big year for them. Apart from anything else, they've had a change of club as well. They've moved away from the beloved Newark AC, and they're going to tell us the reasoning behind that and why is that working for them, and we're going to look back over what they did both achieve in 2017. But first, we're going to find out what Adam Holland achieved last weekend. It's always one of this show's greatest pleasures when we go down to Devon and say good evening to Adam Holland.
Evening.
Adam, even by your standards, it was a busy weekend, and that is absolutely saying something. Let's just, first of all, Saturday, Snowdonia. So it was a trip up from Exeter to into North Wales, what, Friday night?
Yeah, it took just over 6 hours to get there.
I bet that was fun.
Lovely.
Yes.
I didn't bother stopping, I just drove all the way.
I can imagine, the M5 on a Friday. What a joy. So, talk us through Snowdonia, because if there is one, I mean, Adam is a natural runner, as we all know. He can run forever and ever, but if he's got an Achilles heel anywhere, it's hills. He doesn't like going up hills.
I hate hills.
So what, Snowdonia?
A mountain.
Yes. A big hill.
Very big hill.
Tell us about it.
Well, I went up there basically to enjoy it more than anything, because I hadn't done it for 9 years, I think it was. 2007, 2008 were the last time I'd done it. So I thought I'd go check it out again, and yeah, found out it's still hilly.
Where did you finish?
I finished 14th in a time of 2 hours 55, and there's a lovely video on my sports page of me sprinting down the finish because someone was trying to sneak up behind me whilst I was giving the kids high fives. I saw him and then just went, boosh, go.
I mean, to break 3 hours on that, Adam, you must be well pleased.
Very pleased, because it's like 25 minutes faster than my best on that course.
Even with this very long surface hair that you've got these days.
Yeah.
That must be slowing you down.
No. He's just jealous.
Yeah, exactly. I can't grow it like that. So, you finish that one, and then you've got to drive back to Exeter.
Yeah, another six hours,
and there's not going to be an awful lot of sleep, I wouldn't have thought, before you're up again, off for the Devon County Championships.
Did get an extra hour's sleep.
Well, that was a bonus.
Yeah, I did the Dartmoor Vale Marathon, which I remembered that had a few hills in it as well. And, yeah, I finished third. I'm not sure with county-wise, maybe I might be third in that as well, or maybe second. That was a little bit slower. That was 3 hours and 8.
But less than 24 hours previous that, you'd run up a mountain and back. You must be pleased with that time and that performance, Adam, because it must have been taking it out of you a bit.
Definitely. It started off well. I went off in front and then hit the first big hill. One went past me. Got to the second big hill and then the next one passed me. And as we went over the top, as we were going down the hill, I passed him. And then as we got further down, my legs just went a bit jelly-like, so I just slowed the pace up and just carried on running. And then towards about, 4 miles to go, so I could see someone catching me up. I was like, I think I'll pick up the pace because I want third place.
Go again. Oh, dear. What's on the calendar for you then now? Or is this weekend going to be a feet-up weekend?
I can't remember.
That's better. That's more like the Adam we know and love.
I can't remember. It's Catherine's birthday on Monday, so it's kind of her birthday weekend.
So
I'm going to take her out for a meal and stuff.
Right.
But she has said I can do the 10K that's on at midnight on the Saturday night.
Take her into Cornwall, Adam. The meals be so much nicer.
Yeah, right.
Adam, in the studio tonight, I've got a young lady, Anna Smith. And Anna started...
Hello, Anna.
Anna started the year with Newark AC running the Mini Youth League and finished it. The accumulation was a GB vest in the Commonwealth Games. And it's all about enjoying yourself, Adam, isn't it? And living that dream.
Definitely. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
She,
chuffed.
You know, and that's what you do, isn't it? You go out, run with a smile on your face and enjoy it. And if you've got one piece of advice to give Anna, would that be it?
Definitely. Enjoy it whilst you can. That's what I get told.
Exactly.
The older generation tell me that their knees are gone, I used to run like that and all this. I don't believe it. I think I'll be running till past 100.
Probably in the same race. And apart from Anna, another young lady we're going to talk to tomorrow night is somebody that you know very, very well. And I don't know if you picked this one up on Facebook, but she did the Frankfurt Marathon in 2 hours and 53. And of course, we're talking about your great friend Becky.
I did see that. I have meant to message her, and I haven't done that yet because I've just finished work and I started at 7 this morning.
I mean, that performance as well, Adam, ranks right up there at the very top, doesn't it?
Definitely. In many races, she would win quite comfortably. If she can keep going like that, she's going to be earning some cash prizes at some of the races.
I think we are so blessed in Newark. I mean, well, I still count you as Newark. And there's Becky, and there's Anna, and there's Amy Hunt. We're so blessed with brilliant athletes in and around this town, and it's wonderful that we can keep talking to you all. Adam, a fantastic weekend. Really, you know, even by your standards, as I said, it was a cracking weekend.
Yes.
This weekend, take it easy. Wine and dine time.
Yummy.
And you're coming up to see us all in December, aren't you?
Yes, I've got less places now. I think it's 9 left on Saturday and 13 on Sunday.
This is on the showground. Was it first week, second week, December?
16th and 17th of December.
16th, 17th.
Newark Showground Christmas Challenge.
So do what we're going to do. Get down there, and if you can't run, just go down there and say hello to Adam.
You can still walk round a lap.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, good.
So we will see. We'll definitely see you then. But I have a feeling we may well be talking to you again before then. Adam, enjoy the weekend. Don't forget to go to Cornwall for the best food, and we'll see you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye. And we are blessed, Tony. We're fantastic athletes in this town. I think if anybody said to me, what's your number one sport in this town, I would have to say it's athletics because of Anna and Amy and Adam and Becky. And, you know, there's Ben and there's Amber, there's the twins. It goes on.
I was out on my delivery rounds the other day, I think I told you, and saw Becky Gallop sprinting up Beacon Hill. And she was looked like she was running on a cloud. She was flying. That looked absolutely brilliant.
And I struggle to drive up Beacon Hill. National.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger says Jack Wilshere deserves another chance for England. The midfielder has not featured for his country since the Euro 2016 defeat to Iceland. But he's back in North London and after spending last season at the Premier Division rivals Bournemouth. Well, why don't he play a bit more often then? Chris Coleman says he doesn't know if he's going to stay on as the Wales manager. He's thought he's keen to continue, but Coleman says he needs guarantees about facilities and support for the team. I suppose it all depends if Gareth Bale's going to be fit or not, doesn't it? Tottenham will qualify for the last 16 of the Champions League with two games to go to spare. All they've got to do is beat Real Madrid tonight at Wembley. Manchester City can also go through by avoiding defeat at Napoli. Liverpool Spanian club Maribor a fortnight after beating them 7-0. And Rafa Nadal will end the year as the world tennis number one. Well, Claire Hatry's going to be well impressed about that. The Spaniard won four Grand Slams this season at the French and the US Open as well. So I think he probably deserves it. It's only because Andy's been injured.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Can I just say I'm delighted to see the weather forecast for tomorrow, because tomorrow morning I'm building a bonfire. And if anybody wants to come along to Callum Road to Newark R&M on Friday night, they can enjoy the results for £2 each.
And I thought the ad break was at 10 to 8. It's amazing how wrong you could be, isn't it?
Got to get in the Newark R&M bonfire mention.
If you want to talk about bonfires, Radio Newark's at the rugby club one on Sunday night. So, there you go. Right. Okay.
All your bonfire news.
Nope. 2017, then, for our two special guests tonight. Who's got the memory head on? Who's going to tell me how 2017 started, and can you think back an awful long way now to cross-country season January and February of last year, which started off for both of you absolutely fantastic, and then, as I recall, for you, Anna, a bit of a blip.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell us your thoughts on last winter.
Last winter, I think that's when I ran the county champs at Shipley Park. And that was the first time that I beat one of my friends now, Libby Coleman, who got an England vest the year before. And that was kind of a breakthrough moment for me when I did that, because I didn't think I'd ever be able to do anything like that. I wanted to get a medal. And then our team won as well, the Newark team won as well that in that same race. So it was an amazing day. And Ben got county champion as well. So I was amazed by it. It was amazing.
And that started the year off for you, didn't it? And we all got into our heads that you was invincible. You know, we was shouting it from here, and it was all in the newspaper, Anna Smith, this, that, and was all expecting great things. And it all went wrong at Wollaton Park, didn't it?
Yeah, the start of this year, I think. It was the first national that I'd done, because I didn't do it last year. And I did it this year, the national, and it was at Wollaton. I think it was about 3.5 or 4K, and I started the race, I must have got about a K or 0.75 in or something like that, and then I just couldn't breathe properly. I was so tired, just couldn't, my breathing just wasn't working, just couldn't breathe. I felt just out of breath, couldn't carry on. I just had to drop out.
Time to bring Mum back in this one, because this was, you know, we'd all got Anna Smith fever almost, hadn't we? And it, I said, you know, she was invincible, and we was all building her up. So it's all our fault, really. And then it was a bad day at the office. We know the reasons why, but it was a bad day at the office. How did that go down? Because when she pulled out of the race that she was expected to win, when she pulled out of it, Mum's got to sort of put her arm round her and get the family job sorted.
I think it's difficult to focus on just that one event, because I know there were several things leading up to that, in that, you know, when you're performing at these levels, you've got to have everything right. And you know, Anna just earlier that week, I think, had been to orthodontist. She'd had painkillers because of the orthodontist, which then affected her asthma more. There were several factors, so there's so many things that all came into it. So I think it's difficult to focus just on the fact that she pulled out, but she pulled out for a good reason. It was hard on her. There was a lot of expectation. Everybody was putting pressure on herself. I don't think she was you were expecting to win exactly.
No,
but you know, you're hoping for sort of top five-ish. But even that is a big ask in a national event. So I think you forget just how much pressure there is on these youngsters, and they put pressure on themselves. And if you're going to do well in those events, everything has to line up. You can't just turn up with a bit of a cold and hope that you're going to do all right. So, but it was, she took it, it did take a bit of building up. It was a shame Ben had done well in that race, and I felt sorry for him, that we were then having to focus on Anna. So it's one of those tricky things in the household. But all credit to Anna, and this is where the true athlete comes out, is if something's gone wrong, you don't just give up. Was it a week later or 2 weeks later you did Midlands and came
it was a
and
couple
won
of
it?
Weeks later.
And won it. So, you know, you've... Or into counties, I forget which way round things are, because it was either into counties or then Midlands. I forget which way round things go, but we got things sorted medically, the things that had gone a bit awry, but then she sorted herself. It'd be easy to think, oh, this is just too much pressure, but she sorted it, and so the family did pull together, and credit to Ben for not saying, but what about me? What about me? When he'd actually had a really good race for him, I think your bottom year, weren't you, that year?
Yeah, that's one.
So you'd had a really good event. So it's always a balancing thing when you've got two of them doing something similar, and you don't always get a day when they both do well. And I think that's a credit for them two working together. They can understand that, and they support each other. And we as parents have to do the same as well. So I think what was a blip turned into a real strength, and I think that's how we'll always look at it, is that it was quite public in some ways for that to happen. Everybody's saying, oh, about that. But she did the right thing. She did, absolutely did the right thing. She was struggling to breathe. She had to stop, but she turned it round. We helped her. But the only person that can really turn it round is Anna. It's down to her with support from us.
And it is public, because Newark is a bit of a goldfish bowl. You've got us and you had Rick in the paper at the time, and everybody was... The expectations had been built up so much. But what I love about this family, the Smith family, is that it would have been so easy, as I think you said, for Ben to say, why am I, you know, why is nobody shouting about me? But he didn't, because he came in here, and when they talked about it, he was all for his sister. Mm. It was all about his sister. And as you say, Ben had a fantastic day. And let's go to Ben now. And Ben, absolute total credit for you, for the way that you are there alongside your sister all the time. I mean, I've known brother and sisters fight, and I suppose they do fall out, but to me, they're a double act. They really are. Ben, can you remember the start of this year in your own running? What you achieved and how you was enjoying it or not?
Well, this year was obviously Midlands. I did all right at Midlands. I came like 12th or something, and I was bottom year in that. I was younger than everyone in that. I think I came like 3rd for my age in that. And then
Counter Champs.
I came 3rd in that because I was younger than everyone else as well. English schools, I didn't have a great race. I came like 60th or something, which was it's fine, but it wasn't what I wanted. Which is kind of the theme of like this year, really. It's been like I've achieved most, like quite a few of my aims, but I've just like not got there the way I wanted to, if you know what I mean. So the times I wanted, I've kind of just got there the long way and the hard way by like having to train harder and like change clubs and stuff.
What do you think is the reasoning behind that? Is your own expectations too high, or
I don't know?
Is it this bottom year thing, and next year it's gonna be different again, or?
Well, this year for cross country, I'm actually gonna be top year, so I should be doing like everything will sound better. Because if I say I came like 70th at nationals, but I actually came like top 20 for my age, it's just like it's sort of a lot easier to just like understand. Whereas when you're bottom year, you kind of just gotta like translate everything. It's not just like right there in front of you. To actually just be like, oh yeah, I know I did that. Whereas you've actually got to go like, oh yeah, I was bottom year, I was like younger than everyone else.
Now you both, after a very, very successful winter and springtime, you both took a decision to change athletic clubs. How hard was that, and why have you done it?
I think it was really difficult to change. And one of the main reasons we changed was just because in our training group at Newark, there were loads of people doing loads of different events. And so people, like, our coach Stuart was trying to, cater for loads of different people, running different events, trying to aim for different things and trying to get into different things. And because people were doing all these different events, like we had, obviously, Amber doing steeplechase and the twins doing various field events and track events. Tom doing the 400 metres, people like that. People focusing more on cross country and things like that. So some people would train in other places throughout the week. So sometimes we would go to training and it would be like me and Ben and a couple of other people, because other people would be like doing things, they have to do something that would help them to specialise in their event. And then we kind of ended up doing a lot of sessions on our own, which was quite difficult because I was quite a way behind Ben when he was training, so he wouldn't have anyone in front of him and he would be so far ahead of me. And then I think when we tried out session at Mansfield, and there was like, I knew all the girls there and they were girls that I raced against and were quite close to in races, so they were all doing the same kind of events as me and they would turn up often, so it just fitted really well. It allowed us to train with people that we were racing against and that were doing the same kind of things as us.
And is it paying dividends?
I think so. I hope so. We've had a few months of training now and really getting into it, trying to get into the winter training, ready for a cross-country season. And I think it is happening. I feel a lot stronger because I was getting very tired towards the end of the track season after the Commonwealth Youth. But I think I am feeling a lot stronger and ready for cross country.
Let's go to the pinnacle of the year then, and the Commonwealth and the build up to it, because everybody hoped and naturally assumed, but until you're actually told, you don't know you're going, do you?
Yeah.
You can hope, but
I never thought I was going to be going.
You didn't?
No, I didn't, because I was terrified about the race at Nationals, the under 20 National, because they told me to do that. I was under 20 and under 23, so I was 4 years younger than some of the girls I was racing. And I remember being so nervous about it, because it was very obvious that was what was going to, in the end, influence their decision completely. Because I had the time, so there was a possibility that I could go, but I was really nervous about that. And then Charlotte, the woman that was going to be heading the middle distance team out in the Bahamas, she said that I'd kind of doubled my chances of going by racing there and coming fourth. But I still didn't think that they would pick me because of all the other people that were possibilities and that were, they were thinking of taking, because I was so young. And I thought it's a bit of a risk to take someone that young in an under 18 competition when you're only 15. Didn't think many people would be thinking about me.
Gareth Bagley had him down for it all the time. He'd got that one right. He don't get many wrong, and he got that one definitely right. So how did you get the news?
They called me. They were gonna call me. I think it was meant to be the Monday after the weekend when I'd done the under 20. But I think they were trying to get extra funding to take extra people, so it took a couple of weeks, I think. And it was just one Wednesday, I was just at home, and then we had people kind of waiting at home because you had to be in for the call and kind of thing. And then they just called, and I didn't know what it was. And then I think Dad brought the phone to me and he said, "Oh, it's Singland Athletics, they want to talk to you." And I was like, right.
And then no pressure.
I took the phone and just sat at the top of the stairs, and then they were like, "Oh yeah, we're really pleased to tell you that you're going to be coming to the Bahamas with us, and we're really impressed with your performance at the under 20 national. We're really interested in, really intrigued and to see what you can do out there in the Bahamas and the Commonwealth Youth Games." And I was like, "Oh my god!" And I just said, "Oh, thank you very much." And then put the phone down, and they were all waiting at the bottom of the stairs, mum, dad, Ben, and all that. And then
I'll sit on the sofa.
Okay. And then I just got up and I walked down the stairs. I think they could tell because I was smiling, and I just went, "I'm actually going to go."
Smile. Actually, you were smiling. So, time's running out on us, so let's get to the Bahamas. I see Dad got the job of taking it. That must have been, yeah.
I thought it was going to be easier if I went with Dad, because Mum needs to stay with Lily and Ben, look after them. It's just easier if Dad comes.
You'd have been all right, wouldn't you, Ben?
Yeah, I wanted to go out there.
Don't blame. So, out there, just talk us through the race.
I think the run-up to it, I was really nervous. I didn't know what to expect, because I only run the international cross-country, and that was only with Scotland, Wales and Ireland. And then I've never done anything like that before, and then suddenly go that far away on like completely different time zone, and then just have to actually race a few days later. It was quite nerve-wracking, especially when I knew I was a lot younger than everyone else. That kind of helped me because it didn't put as much pressure on me, because I was thinking I'm not the top age group. I know there are people that are like 2 school years older than me in this race, so I didn't really put the pressure on myself. But I knew what I wanted to get out of it. And I knew I wanted to do well, and I wanted to try and get a PB, but I didn't think I would in that kind of weather, because I don't usually run very well in hot weather. So it was a bit of a surprise when it came through the time. I didn't even know the time until halfway through the next day. But everyone else knew it. They were all saying, "Well done, it was a great time." I didn't have a clue what it was. I went down to go get some water, and people were like, "Have you seen your time?" I was like, "No, I don't know what it is." And they showed me. I was like, so confused.
So like, go sure on right. then. Go on then. The time was
4:17.99,
which was a PB.
Yeah, it was a PB. My previous PB was 4:22.5 or something like that.
I mean, 3 seconds is a long time in a race like that, isn't it? It's to take that off there. And where did you finish?
I finished fourth.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Don't be modest about that, because that was up there with the achievements of the year.
I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. Obviously, I was a bit disappointed. Partly, I shouldn't have been, but I was coming into the home straight, and I was second behind the Kenyan girl. And I remember just thinking, "Oh, I could win this, I could go." But I knew Erin Wallace, a Scottish girl, was coming behind me. She's so quick, she's so fast. And then I knew she was going to be coming past me at some point. And then I got kind of 50 metres to the end, and you wouldn't believe, my legs just gave way. I was just couldn't run fast anymore. And then I remember Erin came past me. It was like 75 metres to go. And then the Kenyan girl was starting to go, and they were already ahead of me. I was like, I can still get a bronze medal. And literally this girl from New Zealand just last minute, 0.8 seconds ahead of me. And then She actually apologised to me after the race. I finished the race and she goes, "I'm so sorry that I beat you." And I was like, "Don't worry." She literally apologised to me. She's like, "I'm so sorry. I can't believe I've just beaten you." And I mean, it was a bit sad watching the medal ceremony, but I was clapping. It was fine.
That's fantastic. Ben, was you at home cheering her on? I mean, was it on TV or had you got a satellite link through Dad? Or
managed to get some dodgy like website up, and you pay like $9 or something to watch it, which is a bit weird. But yeah, basically, I was just trying to calm Mum down. She was just like, she gets to this point where she's like, it's nervousness mixed with like, I don't know, it's like if she didn't kind of screech or scream, she'd kind of cry. I don't know. She gets really, like, emotional. So at the end of the race, she kind of ends up, like, screaming your name. She ends up, like, screaming your name. So she's basically, like, shouting Anna on. And I was just, like, trying to tell her to calm down. So it was about 1 o'clock in the morning as well. And I think Lily was asleep. I just sat down on the computer and watched.
Absolutely love it when Ben Smith comes into the studio. I really do. Last 10 minutes and we're going to find out what the expectations are for both Ben and Anna for 2018. But the story doesn't actually finish with those two. They said how they started off by playing football. The next star of the Smith family has taken up football. So we all know what that's going to mean. A couple of years football and then she's going to be an athlete. And we're going to talk to her now. So for the first time ever on Radio Newark, we're going to say hello to Lily Smith. Hello, Lily.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 8 years old.
You're 8 years old, and you play football as well, do you?
Yes.
Who do you play football for?
I play football for Southwell.
And are you a goal scorer or a goalkeeper or a defender?
I am a midfield person.
Oh, you're midfield, so you're good at football then?
Yes.
Because all the best players are midfield players. I used to be a midfield player.
Left back's out midfield, mate.
Yes, I know. So, when your sister was in the West Indies last year running that race, was you on the settee trying to calm Mum down or was you cheering her on saying, "Come on, Anna"?
She was asleep.
You was asleep? Did you miss it?
Yes.
You missed it? Oh, dear, don't. If you don't tell Anna, I won't. All right. So she won't know. Now, they're both runners, aren't they? So do you want to be a runner?
Yes.
And do you think you're going to be a cross-country runner or do you want to be a runner on the track like Anna?
I want to be a runner on the track and a hurdler.
A hurdler?
Yeah.
Now, that's hard work, so there's got to be lots and lots of practice for that one. If you can jump the hurdles, that will make you better than them two, won't it? It will, won't it? Do you go and watch them when they're running?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, but not all the time.
No.
Lily, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope you're going to come back and talk to us again when you're as good a runner as your sister and your brother, and I don't think that will be long. Thank you very much, Lily. We'll talk to you again soon. All right? That's the wonderful 8-year-old Lily Smith, and that's the next star in the making of this wonderful family. And it just leaves us time for them both to tell us what they want to do or hope to achieve in 2018. And we'll talk to Ben because he's got to walk home, apparently. So, Ben, what's 2018 gonna hopefully bring for you?
Well, I don't know if you know the mini marathon. It's basically, you qualify for East Midlands. You've got to try and qualify for East Midlands, the top six. Then, like, stay over a night in the outskirts of London. And then they do, like, a 5K race through the middle of London. Road race, yeah. And it's like the last part of the marathon. So you start near the Shard and then you run past the London Eye, Big Ben, and then you go down, you finish down the mile where they all finish. And that's one of the aims to get there. And then there's obviously just the standard English schools and stuff and do well at county champs. Cross country's like not a massive thing for me. Like, I don't know, I might go out there and smash cross country, but I think track's a bit more for me. So in track, obviously, it's maybe English schools, hopefully qualify for that, but I'll be younger. I don't know, I've got a lot of aims, kind of like set out. And hopefully I'll have a better track season next year than last year.
Like your sister, are you happier on the track than in the mud?
I actually enjoyed going on the road. I've never done road sessions before, and this year I actually did road sessions with Mansfield, and I've actually been really enjoying road. But yeah, I'd say I enjoyed track a lot more than cross country. I think.
Lovely. So that's we're gonna keep our eyes open for what Ben's up to. Anna, I think the easiest question of the whole night is, how do you beat that? How do you beat fourth place in the Junior Commonwealth Games? But you've got to up and go again, haven't you? So what are you looking for in 2018?
I'm really going for the under 18 European Championships. I really want to qualify for that for 1500, I think.
And where are those? Somewhere nice and warm and exotic?
I think they're in Hungary.
Oh. Well, not quite the West Indies, but Hungary's probably nice.
You can't complain.
No, you can't complain. So that's what you're...
Be cool, huh?
I mean, that almost must be what the year is geared to, then, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm doing my cross country for competition and experience, also strengths and things like that, and hill work to get me ready for track season. Trying maybe going for like a bit of an early indoor season to try that out. I've never done that before. To get used to my track, because I've got GCSEs next year, so I have to kind of, if I want to go to
the European, there's a balancing act there, then, isn't
there? I've got to try and get a time early if I want to go, so it's trying to like get into the track ready to start competing for that.
Last word with Mum. A big year coming up for both of them. Both of them's told us what they want to achieve or would like to achieve. It's just support, is it, from both of you?
Yeah, and I think because we've potentially got a difference there with Ben carrying on with his cross country, Anna perhaps going indoor a bit more. Of course, Lily doesn't stop doing her things, her dancing and everything else. So we could be split in several directions as a family. I can see that. So, but it is support, and I think it's easy to overlook what Ben's achieved when you look at what Anna's achieved, and you know, he did get his English schools time a little bit later, so I don't want him to be hard on himself about his track season. So yeah, it's always a balancing act when you're trying to think of who to applaud for what they've done, but I think I'd have to say that both of them, and they've supported each other brilliantly, and very proud of both of them. And my husband and I have our breakfast meetings to work out when we can eat and who's going to take who to wherever, because, and we sometimes introduce ourselves to each other so that we can remember who we are. But but yes, but that's right. And we haven't lost touch with Newark in terms of Anna and Ben are still coming to Newark for their core strength training with the C. Amy Hunt, where she is there. So, and you know, Newark's been brilliant for them all these years, and we've got a lot of happy memories, and we'll keep seeing the folks around, so we're really grateful for everything.
It's progression though, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it and that's and that's what it's all about, and you know, a lot of Newark clubs see their best players move on to the next level, and they all say, great, you go with our support, remember us,
yeah,
come back and see us. And, you know, when you got that England vest on, they was at Newark.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it's all about. Well, both of you, keep in touch with us. We certainly will try and keep in touch with you, because you are much loved in Newark, as you both know, and you're part of the Newark sporting family. So the best of luck to both of you in 2018, and I'm absolutely sure. And it's Mum's turn to go to Hungary. Dad went to the West Indies, Mum goes to Hungary.
They're all having a holiday in Budapest.
I love him. I know, he's brilliant.
No pressure on me to get there.
No pressure. They just want a holiday. You do the odd work, they have the holiday.
They can go, even if they don't go.
You will be there. I don't think there's any problem about that. So that's the first of our look back at 2017 with the wonderful Ben, the wonderful Anna, and the really wonderful star of the future, Lily. Tomorrow night, it's Ed Howlett coming in to talk to us about his 17, and he wears a GB vest as well. And we're going to be talking to Becky Gallup. But next up, it's another legend of Newark, Doug Hall's here.